The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, candidate for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination, Senator Rick Santorum describes the role of faith in a free society.
We can't be free if we aren't virtuous. And we can't be virtuous unless we have faith. And we can't have faith unless we're free. And so all of these are dependent upon each other.
Exploring the impact of faith, family, and freedom. Next.
Thank you, and wonderful to have you, the opportunity to speak to you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Senator Rick Santorum is with us. He's written a book. Actually, he would say that I have simply recorded the stories of great Americans, great patriots, American patriots. God knows we need a lot of them today. And I want to just make sure you understand something about a patriot. A patriot is a principled person. A patriot is not somebody that's sold out to a party. As a matter of fact, the great patriot, father of patriots, George Washington said in his farewell address, beware of party spirit. Party spirit, prevailing spirit, something other than the spirit of God, the spirit of love, the spirit of truth. When that begins to prevail, it becomes a covering. And Jesus Christ, the greatest spokesman and teacher of all time, said, don't let the light that's to be put on a lampstand be covered by anything. And that means sectarianism. It means partisanship. And every good expression and every concerned expression is vital to the discussion, but we've got to stand on rock-solid principles that have been time-tested, historically proven, that are biblically sound. And our founders understood that. The American patriots understood it. Rick Santorum understands it. And we're going to talk about America's future. Our course needs to be corrected. Do you understand that it is a perilous course we're on? It is a disastrous course, and we must correct it, and we must correct it wisely. And this man, I believe, has wisdom. Would you welcome Senator Rick Santorum to Life Today? I want to thank you, Senator. I want to thank you for your example. I want to thank you for your family. You wrote a book, It Takes a Family. It does. And it takes a family that's building on a solid foundation. You make that clear. It's a biblical foundation. You understood the principles that made our visible founders, at least once visible founders, like you don't even know who Washington and Hamilton is anymore. And a lot of people don't even understand that Abraham Lincoln was part of a party that has been perceived today as not caring about, quote, civil rights, and yet they did. And a person who cared very deeply, and they've even been accused of being only pompous people. And sadly, that party has allowed that perception to persist.
Well,
and it's really tragic.
It is. I mean, I was at the National Convention, and the night I spoke at the National Convention, I walked into the convention hall, and there were a bunch of cards that said, we built that. And if you remember during the campaign, President Obama got up and said, he didn't build that, you know. And so our brilliant idea as a Republican Party, was to dedicate a day to talk about how we built that. But who did we send out to talk about who we built? I was backstage. I met them all. Very good people, wonderful folks from all walks of life in the sense of, I mean, they were, you know, every race, every color, every creed. They were all business people. And they all went out there and talked about how they'd built something. There wasn't one carpenter, one janitor, one person working on the line. Didn't they build it too?
Sure.
Who are we speaking to? What message were we trying to deliver?
Exactly.
We delivered a message that it's these people who are the super achievers. God bless them. this country would not be as prosperous as it wasn't for those folks who risked and built those businesses but we also wouldn't be the country if we didn't have people working alongside them who helped them build that country. And we didn't talk about them. Mm-hmm. We didn't have them out there. In fact, those are the only people we should have had out there, because we would have then shown that we understand how America is built. And it's not just the folks at the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
It's everybody who built the ladder.
30 years ago, I spent a tremendous amount of time with a man I think we've all come to respect, which is kind of an enigma. Billy Graham and I were both members of Southern Baptist Churches. We were the two most highly visible evangelists in the country. And I had an opportunity to build, and Billy really helped inspire a relationship with Mr. Reagan, who became president. Interestingly, here I am, a Southern Baptist evangelist with a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher in the White House. And of all things, we organized the replacing of that Sunday school teacher with a Hollywood actor who had been divorced. But he was principled. He understood the principles that mattered. Now, here's the thing, Senator. In my conversation with Mr. Reagan, and I would give anything in the world, if the world, including the whole Republican Party and all parties, could have understood the meekness, how teachable, what yielded clay in the presence of principles and truth this man was. And when I talked to him about the poor, and he appointed E.V. Hill over a poverty commission, I talked to him about the minorities needing to hear. He understood it. Guess what, Senator? He couldn't get what I call the Republican guard to understand that these people matter. Well, there are a whole lot of people that understand everybody matters, and now to their own demise, these very people in need of the very things that wealth and prosperity is essential to help meet, these people are being manipulated and taken to the gallows, subjects of what I call a modern-day Pharaoh principle of dependence upon something that will lead to the ultimate bondage of everybody. They don't hear. We got a lot of people in high places in political parties that can't hear truth when it's knocking straight on the door and on their own heart. They are oblivious to the truth, and we better be corrected soon.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, they are being led by a group of people who said that we will take care of you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And Republicans, conservatives, have taken the last election as a clarion call that we have to somehow or another begin to appeal to them. And so,
compromise moral
and
issues.
And so the way to do that in their idea is to throw out the moral issues and just focus on promising them more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If we come down to which party can promise the American public more stuff, we will lose.
Nope.
Okay? Because they will always promise more, and they'll deliver it directly to them, so they'll get the credit for it more than we would.
And extract it from the producers that they've been teaching everybody to hate.
So
this class warfare is terrible.
You're talking to someone who, I was one of the principal authors of welfare reform.
Thank God for it. It helped the poor.
It did more to raise people out of poverty.
Absolutely.
To help strengthen and solidify families as anything. The poverty rates among the most chronically poor in this country reached its lowest level 5 years after that, before we hit a recession after 9/11. Why? Because welfare rates were almost as high as they were today. Why? Because we said, we believe and we love you, and we believe our objective is not to have the government provide for you, but we need to talk about incentivizing all of us to do what our job is, which is to care for our neighbor. And what government has done is rob us of our responsibility.
Absolutely.
And as long as we as Republicans aren't out there talking about how we are going to serve those who we are called to serve, and I'm not talking in government, I'm talking in our own lives. You said earlier to these folks here during a break, you said that it's our job, it's our responsibility, right? And it is. We're not going to, if we want government to get smaller, if we want our deficits to go down, then we got to get bigger. We got to step up. That's part of, you say, how are we going to save America? Well, we do it one family at a time. We do it one school at a time. We do it one church at a time. We do it one nonprofit or civic or community organization at a time. That's how we save America. Mm-hmm. We start making the changes that are necessary.
We don't do it by forsaking the values that made us strong.
Absolutely.
We don't do it by accommodating failed lifestyles or particular sexual preferences and practices by reducing principle to conform to lifestyle. That's the very thing Romans talked about, where you change the truth of God into a lie to accommodate the idolatrous practices, and the end result in that very chapter is you're given over to reprobate thinking. You can't even think straight. You literally call good evil and evil good.
I mean, can you imagine this country with two political parties who've abandoned the unborn?
That's unbelievable.
Can you even fathom that the consensus in this country, and so where would the next step be along that train ride? You know, if we abandon that fight, if we abandon the family and say that what nature and God clearly clearly articulated by that complementary nature of men and women. If we walk away from that truth, then what is left for us to stand against the next cultural whim? This is what ended up to be the demise of the Whig Party and the rise of the Republican Party. And I remind people, the Republican platform of 1856, which was the first Republican convention held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from, by the way. But that platform said that they stood against the twin barbarisms. And you know what they called the twin barbarisms in 1856? Slavery, the lack of respect for the dignity of every human life, and polygamy. So marriage and life were the foundational principles. Why? Because they are the foundational principles of the dignity of all of us that our founders understood was essential to keep government limited. And that is you, the individual, and their dignity is supreme. And number two, that the foundational unit of society upon which you can build a just civilization is the family. We abandon those two things, we're lost.
If you devalue any life, you will ultimately devalue every life because you devalue life itself. You devalue the essence of life and the principles that make life precious and give us the ability to live as free, creative people and meet needs. I believe the wealthy and those who've created wealth are going to have to stop dismissing themselves because they've become public enemy number one in the eyes of the general population, which is a misnomer. But they have oftentimes dismissed themselves by paying 35 to 40% of their income to the federal government to support all these programs that people say are so essential while we criticize the people who support them and say they're the enemy, but we got to have all and we got to have even more while we're destroying their ability to have more or even do more. But the people who paid it, the sad thing about the wealthy is they have also, by giving it to Pharaoh, so to speak, and they say they're going to take care of it, but with no compassion connection, you don't, they've dismissed themselves from taking their genius and their ability to create, meet needs, to get out and find out how we can personally be involved to meet needs. And they're going to have to readjust. So it isn't just our parties. And by the way, the principles of God are not for Republicans and Democrats or independents or libertarians. The principles of Almighty God are for all parties, for all people and all voters. So all of you understand that. The principles of God are for all people for all time. And that's the way you build on a solid foundation. So it's not a matter of just trying to jack one party up with truth. It's getting all parties back on the solid foundation. And that's what has to happen. This is what all of us are going to have to do as a nation. Do you think that there's any possibility that we might begin to correct this course?
Well, the answer is absolutely do I believe. First of all, I know how things end. And I know it's going to be, I know what the end is looking like. And we just got to make sure that our part is to do our part, each one of us.
Right now. Here on planet Earth.
Here on planet Earth. And it really does come back to the other side has been able to be successful in transforming America. But they want to transform America, and they have the left, you give them credit. They are zealous.
They're more zealous than Christians are.
They will do everything they can, every aspect of their lives. They don't check it at their workplace. They don't check it at their community center. They live out it in every aspect. And we, who have had the blessing of America and the great values and virtues America was founded on, we just assume it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, we just sit in church and sing louder.
That's right. unless we take it upon ourselves to actually live it, in every aspect of our lives, in our churches, demanding our pastors to start telling the truth and not being afraid of standing for the word, demanding that our schools stand by the values that have made our country great and teach the true history of our country. All of these things we can do in the ordinary and everyday of our lives. But if we don't, let me assure you, the other side is, and they will work, and we will lose.
What do you think about what you hear, honey?
Well, I agree with it all, but I think as an individual, like you said, we need to be responsible. We need to take responsibility. What does God want us to do in this situation? We can't do it by ourselves, but with Him through us, we can do all things.
Y'all agree with that?
Yeah. I'll give you a hand.
The senator has written a book called American Patriots to try to help you understand what patriotism is. And he's pointed out these are the as great as any of the patriots you know, whether it's Hamilton or Franklin or Washington or been ultimately later, not one of the founders, but a great influence, Lincoln. To understand that there are a lot of people who were just as big, even acknowledged by these great founders and highly visible historians and historic figures as being even more important to the cause. That you may not, and that's what he's sharing it, to show you how important you are. And then also he's got a video, Our Sacred Honor, talking about our founders. And there's a website. If they wanted to get the documentary, the video, which is awesome, it ought to be played in churches and schools.
It's a great documentary. And I say that as someone who helped narrate it. I worked with Citizens United on it. And it really does tell you what's at stake. I mean, it's two visions for America, two revolutions, really. It goes back to, there are two revolutions that occurred at the time of the American Revolution. One is the American Revolution that was based on the idea of God-given rights, and one was the other was the French Revolution, was based on the rights of in a sense, mob rule, which is the state mm-hmm. has the rights, and they are the ones who decide who gets what. That was a godless revolution. It was anti-clerical, mm-hmm. godless revolution, secular revolution that led to the guillotine. That is the basis, that revolution is the basis of European governments today. It's the basis of the European Union, which has no mention of God in any of its documents. That's the revolution that now those here in America want to import to the United States. They want to abandon the American Revolution, mm-hmm. and they want to adopt the principles of the French Revolution. And that's what, if you...
Get
this, this documentary will lay that out very,
there's
very clearly.
There's a website on the screen.
And it's patriotvoices.com. I didn't get to the website. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but it's on the screen. Listen, do you think that there really is any hope for us to correct our course without our hearts turning back to God?
Well, no. I mean, like, our founders' hearts were turned to God. I mean, this country was... I mean, God was mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. The first of the Bill of Rights, the first freedom was freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. I mean, it's foundational. I mean, we can't be free if we aren't virtuous. And we can't be virtuous unless we have faith. And we can't have faith unless we're free. And so all of these are dependent upon each other. And so the idea that we can pull faith out and show me a society where people learn and en masse, learn virtue, and able to have a good enough society so people can be free. It's never happened anywhere. And it won't happen because the vast majority of people in the world learn right and wrong through faith.
Absolutely.
And when faith is extracted and marginalized, as this administration is doing now, you know, they don't even use the term freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. You know what they use? They use freedom of worship.
Big difference.
Big difference. And
worship,
sadly,
the devil.
They don't even sure, I'm not even sure they know the difference. Mm-hmm.
Breaks your heart.
But worship is great. It's a part of faith. But worship is what you do
with God.
We're talking about how you practice your faith with your neighbor mm-hmm. and live what God wants you to do in your life. That's what they're saying you can't do. That's what these HHS regs are about. They're saying, that's fine, you can have whatever, you want to talk to God all you want to go to church all you want, fine, but don't you dare bring that out in your life and expect the government to respect how you live your faith out. That's a problem.
Our founders did not give God an honorable mention in the founding doctrines. They honored God. Therefore, they mentioned the God they honored. That's what has to happen to save America. Do you appreciate a senator that will take a stand for truth, that loves his family, and loves your family and the families of the world and understands the importance of faith? Senator, thank you for being with us. If you'd like to have the senator's book, it is in the bookstores. You can get it. You can go online and get it. But if you will help us, if you will help us help a little child like you're about to see, and this little girl named Julia, so very precious, you're going to fall in love with her. And you're going to want to do something for little Julius. I promise you.
Look at this little tiny hand. Looks like the hand of a newborn. Little Julius, 1 year and 8 months old. She looks so much younger because she's so malnourished. Frankly, she may not even make it. When you see a child this thin, the ribs showing, and what's on her face is her skin dying because there's no nutrition to keep her healthy. Every breath she takes is a struggle. It's a struggle to just stay alive at this point. Her little heartbeat, her little ribs, you can count them just by looking. Her legs are about the size of my thumb. I've seen this so many times over the years, but I'm tired of that. And I know that the solution is simple. This is not a disease that we have to find the cure for. This is the basic necessities of life. Everybody deserves the basic necessities of life. I know little Julia does. And so many children just like her are out there. You don't get the opportunity every day to save a life, but today you have that opportunity. Come here, Jesus, Lord. I just ask you in Jesus' name to let little Julia live. Let her grow up and have a life.
Oh, boy. And Janice is standing here in the studio right here in front of me. She's our floor director, if you can get a shot of Janice standing there. And Janice, I want to thank you for holding little Julia up close. You are a missionary. And she prayed for Julia. And she pointed out that it's not a disease that we don't know the cure for, we do. And it's just some food, some nourishment. And that's the last time anybody got to love that little girl. She's in the arms of the Lord Jesus right now, I promise you. But Julia didn't make it. She was a precious little girl.
She was, James.
Her skin was literally scaling off from malnourishment, but she's precious.
She was, and I know it's hard to watch scenes like this. You say, why doesn't someone do something? You can. We can. We can make the difference. We don't have to watch this over and over again. We can help them. We can get the food to them. All they need is nourishment. That's a very simple solution. Please join with us, and let's make that difference.
We found 25,000 children where Julia was that are starving because of a severe drought in regions of Angola, at the same time they're having floods on the other side of the continent in Mozambique, and those people are in trouble too. But we got 25,000 new children. This is the last week, by the way. In this spring emphasis, twice a year we ask you to help us feed the hundreds of thousands of children. We got 400,000 we've located that we right now have organized to be fed. And now we've got another 25,000 more that are right there where they started bringing children in like that were dying while our missionaries were there, just trying to see what needs we could meet. And it doesn't have to happen. We turn it around so fast. I mean, in like a six-month period, it's amazing what happens when you begin to stabilize things. So what I'm asking you to do is to go to the phone or go online and do it. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm asking you to make a difference. To give them the cure that's sure to work. Let's just give them some food. And I want you to go to the phone, dial that number, or go online. Take your bank card and make the largest gift you can make. $100, we can feed 10 children for the next months. Would you do that? $1,000, we can feed 100. But now here's the beauty. We've got a matching challenge gift, $500,000, if you give right now. That what you give 1,000 or you give 100 or you give 50 or you give 30, whatever, it'll be doubled. So that rather than feeding 3 children or 5 or 10, it'll automatically be doubled to 6, 10, and 20, and 100 to 200. We've got some wonderful gifts to send you to say thank you, but you're giving the great gift of life. You're giving them a chance. You're giving other little Julias a chance not just to go to be with Jesus, but to see the love of Jesus, not in word only, but indeed in action. Would you dial that number? If you get a busy, you be determined. I'm getting through. I'm going to give life. I'm going to share the love of God. Please make the gift God puts on your heart, and I thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be double to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you a good word for a great day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I do want to say thank you for your help. Remember, it's the last week. Really important we hear from every one of you, please. What a difference your love's going to make. If you'd like to have American Patriots, it is great. I'm praying you'll be a patriot. You come to appreciate these that you've not even known about. You can be one of those unknown who makes an impact that changes the course of history, that corrects our nation's perilous course. And our sacred honor, the website, and you need more information on where to find these things, go to lifetoday.org. Let's all join together and thank God for Senator Santorum. I want to close with this, Senator. Most politicians and presidents close every speech by saying, God bless America. Can I just say something? I think it's high time America begins to bless God again. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching.
Human gifting. You can only do it in the Spirit.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.